So here we are, Wes. We meet again.
Yeah. Number three. You number think three. That we'd be gluttons for punishment, but man.
Boy, yes. It's just, you know, I think we take the love we do and do what we love to an extreme at times, maybe. Just a little bit.
Well, here's the thing. There are people right now somewhere sweating in a factory or, you know, freezing their ever-loving, you know, self to death, you know, on the highway holding a sign. And, you know, you're in Naples. I'm in the, you know, even though I'm in Ohio and it's cold, I'm down here in my war room. And I mean, you know, there's definitely worse ways to make a living.
And, you know, we, as the sort of the self-proclaimed hybrid road warrior Randy, right? It's just, I love these hybrid kind of days. You know, all morning was getting some of my walking in and several, you know, a couple of Zoom calls and then several phone calls and texts and with customers. And then I get to carve out 3 hours this afternoon to be with you and some great guests to pop up in the next few coming weeks. Man, just don't get any better than that. Living the hybrid style, baby.
Well, even better. We have a follically challenged guest today. Wendell Yoder is going to be on and with us here in just a couple seconds. And man, you know, if it's like the first two that we've had today, then we're going to be able to wrap up number three with an incredible guest.
We are. And, you know, speaking of that, as much as everybody loves to chat with you and I, or listen to you and I banter, because we're quite humorous with each other at times. Yeah. Why don't we just go get Wendell? What do you think?
Let's do it.
Yeah, that's right. Let's go.
All right.
Let's go.
Welcome to Building Wins Live with host, the hybrid road warrior himself, Randy Chafee, and producer-director Wes Wyatt.
Whether we're talking about sales, marketing, tech, or industry news, we want to bring you the best tips, tricks, and info to build wins.
Now, let's get to the show.
Boom, there we are, buddy.
Hey, Randy.
What's going on? Welcome, my friend.
Oh, it's great to be on the show. I've been looking forward to this for quite a while now.
Well, I've been looking forward to it too. I just, you know, ever since we got a chance to meet virtually the first time, chat on the phone, in some previous chats, I've been looking forward to having this conversation. So thanks for carving out a few minutes to chat, my man.
Yeah, no problem. Looking forward to it.
You got it. So you're sitting there in beautiful, sunny, but probably chilly Leon, Iowa. Is that where you're at today?
That is correct. Yep, southern Iowa.
So that's southern. That's southern central or southern?
Kind of southwest corner of the state.
Southwest corner. Okay.
Yep. Right on the Missouri-Iowa border.
Ah, gotcha. Well, good. So give us a little history, if you will, because I know you come from our industry as well as doing a lot of things that's near and dear to my heart, which is a lot of physical fitness stuff. You do a lot of, you're doing coaching. You're doing a lot of fun and interesting, exciting things. And so let's just, before we get into that, this is the Who in the World is Wendell Yoder.
Sure. Yeah, I'd love to share my story. You know, this has been a crazy year and I completely transformed my life over the last 8 months. So let me give you a little bit of a background of where I come from, just to give you a little bit of perspective, who I am and what I went through. And yeah, we'll go from there. So, but I do have an extensive background in the construction industry for sure. So I was born and raised in a small Amish community in central Ohio. And, you know, if you're familiar with the Amish culture, limited formal education. So I started working full time when I was 15. Mm-hmm. Got right into construction work, did residential construction work till 2013. So quite a number of years.
Yes.
Close to 20 years. Now, yeah. So that's my background.
So perspective real quick. Ohio's a big state for me and I'm very ingrained into the plain folk community all over the country. Mm-hmm. What city, what town in Ohio?
Bell Center, Ohio. It's a little west of Columbus, about 45 minutes.
Yes. Yep. Yes.
A little south of Canton.
Yep. 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 I know that area. I have several customers in that. Oh, get that Go Bucks off there.
Go Bucks. That's there it. You go.
If Wes, if you don't put up a Go Blue, you and I are going to have problems. Anyway, I have several customers in that Canton area over there. I was just there last week or 2 weeks ago. I was down in that area in Mount Victory and in Canton. And places further south and east and west. So I spent a lot of time in the last 4+ decades in Ohio. So, well, yes, that's really, really interesting how you, the growing up and then you moving into something that's about as far the opposite direction from the old Amish way of life as you could get, right? Yeah. So you ended up as, let's go industry first, because you, you started out, or not started out, but you were a general manager at Delta Metals, which is a Colorado-based, I think, roll-forming metal manufacturer with a location in Iowa. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. And you were a GM there for a while?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so 2013 is when everything really changed for me. Big shift. So at this point, I was now married and had one daughter, one child. And, you know, I started taking life serious, a little more serious. It's like, you know, the path that I'm on now is not going to lead me where I need to go. You know, making 45,000-50,000 a year is not going to cut it, supporting a family back then. So this opportunity came up to partner up with this roll forming company. It was a startup here in Iowa. So I jumped on the opportunity. It's like, I've never done this before. Up until this point, I was just a physical labor, day labor. Mm-hmm. So this was a big switch. But it's like, you know what? I see a lot of opportunity here. This could take me where I want to go. So I did it.
Love it. So you rolled the dice, stepped out of your comfort zone, and just went for it. And that's something I love. I love that story, and I love that about you is, man, we got to get out of our own way sometimes and expect to win as opposed to fear the failure, right? You got in the game. Because I'm sure that was uncomfortable. Right?
Oh, yeah, it was super probably, uncomfortable. Yeah. You know, when I first got started, we were a very small operation, just getting, you know, started from ground zero. I was scared to get on the phone. Like making phone calls is awkward and uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So yeah, but you know, just take a day at a time, a step at a time, and go for it.
And didn't you find that, because I found it to be very true in life, is we all, the fears that we generate in our head are typically, I'm sure there's some out there that are. My fear of pythons is pretty real, and I think it'd be just as real if I run across one. I just looked at one with a head that big that was caught within 15 miles of where I live a few days ago. Anything with a head that big on a snake is stupid. But anyway, so I think that's a legitimate fear, okay? But most things that we fear is never as bad as what we make it out to be in our head. We build up this fear and then we become paralyzed by that fear. Mm-hmm. And then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, doesn't it? That we never do the things we need to do to get better. And then we're not happy with where we are. Mm-hmm. And it just keeps going in this revolving circle because we can't get off that merry-go-round of fear, that uncomfortableness, because we think we might do what? Fail? Well, if we're not doing what we want to do, or providing the way we want to provide, I'm not sure that's a success, right? I won't necessarily call it a failure, but it's not a success if we're not taking that risk and going out and doing what it is we're meant to do, want to do, think we should try. So, kudos for just jumping out there and doing that, man.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, fear is just a reflection of what's going on inside of it. It's the doubt that you got to watch.
Ah,
so that's one thing I learned.
Yeah. So doubt versus fear. Talk more about that.
Well, fear, the doubt is, you know, if you doubt, you're probably not going to take action. I think fear is just, you know, those emotions like, well, if you've never done anything before, you get a little uncomfortable. You know, just learning to recognize that difference, but you really want to snuff out doubt immediately because that's where the inaction comes from once you don't believe that you're capable of doing it.
So what you're saying, and that makes sense, you could still move forward scared,
right,
petrified, as long as you and have fear.
Exactly.
But you can't move forward if you have doubt.
Right.
Right. I like that. I think that's accurate. I had not thought of it that way, but I think that's very right. You can overcome fear, but you can't overcome doubt. It's hard to overcome doubt. And the problem is, we probably, don't we, Wendell, most things that we doubt about what we might want to do, is self-imposed doubt is way more than any doubt that anybody else puts on us, right? We're our worst enemy when it comes to doubting, because we
for sure.
And do we create that because of lack of experience? Do we create that because of lack of confidence? Do we create that because of past failures we can't get by? What causes us to, because I'm really interested in talking about this, what causes us to, because we, if we recognize we have a doubt, how do we get past that doubt? I guess that's what I'm sure you work with people in your coaching business that we're going to talk about. How do we get by that? Mm-hmm. Because that's got to be a tough one. If you got it, you got it. How do I get past that doubt in myself?
Well, I think understanding who you are as a person, and that was the big shift for me over this past year, is changing my self-identity, my self-image. Like, our results are all, they're direct reflection of how we view ourselves. I think is it Wayne Dyer or someone has a quote, says, we don't see the world for what it is. We see it for how we are. Mm. So, and that's how I lived most of my life. And that's what really changed over the last 8 months and why I'm sitting here today, is because I changed that, my view of myself. So a lot of people don't know this, and this is why I'm willing to share this, because I feel like people don't share enough. Mm-hmm. The struggles that people go through, how I felt, I dealt with a lot of self-image, self-confidence, and self-esteem issues. And a lot of that comes from the environment you grow up in, your programming, mm-hmm. you know, from a very young age. And I didn't recognize, I didn't understand that self, but I didn't like myself. So if you think about it, if you don't like yourself, I assume that you don't like me either. So I try to be somebody I'm not, which is not natural. It's uncomfortable, and it's a repelling energy, and it just makes everything hard. So having the proper perspective of yourself, of who you are, that really helped me with my doubt. It gave me the courage to do some things that I did this year. And I think back in 2013, my why was big enough, and I was willing to put myself out there and just do it. But most of the last 10 years of my life was way harder than what people thought.
Hmm. So it sounds like, you've admitted, and you said there's a story here. What was there? A deciding day, a aha moment, if you will, where you said, I've got to get out of my own way. I've got to fix this doubt somehow. I'm going to fix this doubt somehow. There's going to be a new Wendell Yoder. Was it a series of blocks that kept falling into place and out of place? Or was there just that one moment where your head snapped back and you just go, wow, right now, this is changing.
Yeah. Yeah, I had two of those moments, but the big one was in December of 2022. It's when I really got sick and tired, and I'll continue my story. So fast forward to 2016, I had a life-changing event happen. And I really cleaned up my life. Up until now, my personal life was a mess. Mm-hmm. And so I really cleaned that up, made a 180 shift, and went the other way and really started, I'm going to live my life the way it needs to be lived. But, you know, some of the things I went through, I had a lot of questions, but I couldn't get any answers. I felt, you know, it was very odd. Like, so what happened? So I made this my new mission in life, is to figure out, who am I? Who is Wendell Yoder? And what am I here for? What is my purpose in life? So that was a big, in February of 2016, when I made that decision. But there's a couple things I didn't understand. I didn't understand money, and I didn't understand myself. So I kept working. I mean, I worked a lot. I thought if I could get to that next level, get to that financial freedom would take care of all my problems. Mm-hmm. So that's what I did. I poured everything. And when I say everything, I mean everything. Yeah. Like, if I had to work 80 hour weeks, I'd work 80 hour weeks. And most weeks I was at the office 7 days a week, after church, Saturdays, mm-hmm. whatever. I did whatever it took. You know, if there was a couple days when I would work the day shift and the night shift, up for 20 hours. Wow. So that's not good. You know, just working harder. I really fell in love with the term working smarter, not harder. Hmm. And back then I didn't understand that. So, you know, I sacrificed a lot of family time. And even when I was at home, I wasn't present because I was stressed out a lot. I was out of my comfort zone most of that. I was always stretching, always growing. But I did it the wrong way. Huh. So that was, you know, from 2016 till for a good solid 5-6 years, that was my life.
And then?
But, and then, so what happened is, you know, I was a little overweight. I didn't take care of my health. So I got stressed out. I almost had a heart attack. A lot of people don't know that either. Then I started using alcohol as a coping mechanism. Nobody knew that either. Just dealing with the stress and everything. But I always kept searching. I always kept looking. Like, I always felt there's something more. So in 2020, I stumbled across Bob Proctor's teaching on the mindset on YouTube. So I started applying some of those principles and studying. It's not, it really resonated with me. It felt like I had something here. I really connected with that. And I started getting some success with setting goals and doing things like that. But come 2022, last year, December 2022, I had a personal situation happen where I really let myself down. And I was like, that's when I had that big aha moment. I was like, at this point, I'd now achieved some financial success. I'd done all this reading, studying, all this work. There's still something missing. I was like, I couldn't figure out what it was. Like, I didn't have that peace and that fulfillment that I thought I should have. So that was my big, big aha moment, was the December of 2022. So January of 23, ironically, the words I wrote down, I said, the words for the year is going to be let go. I'm going to have to let go of something, my past ideas, and I'm going to figure this out. So that's when I started working with a mentor and a coach. It was in January of 2023, and got on one of his programs, Quantum Leap Coaching Program. That's when everything started to change. It's when I had that big, big shift. So,
and it's got to be exciting to look back at that now and realize the good direction, the wonderful direction that you're headed now versus where it could have went prior to that, right? Without that aha moment.
Yeah.
And I know you're doing a, there's got to be a correlation, I'm going to guess here, Wendell, because I know you've made a, you had mentioned that you allowed yourself to get physically out of shape. I know that you, watching some of your posts, you're very well in physical shape now. You busted your butt, as it's obvious. Is that all part of that whole transformation process? I mean, they go hand in hand, right? Because, you know, as we talk about Martha Beck, right? The way you do anything is the way you do everything, right? And until we figure that out, you can't be, I'll be okay here, but I'll be great in the business world, but I won't be a good family guy. Or I'll be good in the business world, but I won't do anything with my health and fitness. I don't think overall you'll be as highly successful in any of those areas, if successful at all, if you don't do them all the same. You got to do everything, because you can't fall back and forth, right? I mean, the way you do anything is the way you do everything. Is that a true statement? I think it is.
Yeah, I love that quote. That's what I did, is I started applying these principles that I've learned. I started applying them to all areas of my life, and it worked. See, back in 2013, when I made that commitment of, you know, I want to go to that next level, I need more. I was like, I don't want this to take 30 years. Like, I'm going to figure out a way. I'll pay the price. I'll do whatever it takes, but I have to shorten this time frame. I can't spread this out over 30 years. I'm going to have to shorten it way down. So that's why I fell in love with the term quantum leap, which is multiplying your results over a short period of time, really getting that exponential growth. And that's was the program I did, was Quantum Leap Coaching. And that's what it's designed to do.
Love it.
Is to, and it's not about working harder. It's about doing things different. It's not a crapshoot or a gamble. It's just about reframing the problem, coming at it from a different angle. And it's amazing what you can do. So that's what I did, is apply those principles to my fitness. I mean, all areas of my life. But continuing the story. So 3 months into the program, we had a situation happen at work, and I responded radically different. Like, I was like, this is crazy. I started viewing things different. So my perception of myself and my self-belief, everything had changed. And it was at that moment I knew that my time was probably done, that there was something bigger and greater that I needed to pursue. So that's when I made the decision to leave my career, you know, as a general manager in the building industry and pursue something different. But at this point, I had no idea what it was going to do. that was probably the most difficult decision I ever made, because pouring my life, blood, sweat, and tears into this company. And by now I had transitioned into being the CFO of the other location as well.
Okay.
Out of the day-to-day at the our local store. So there was a lot of opportunity. It was a great job, a lot of room to run. So making that decision to walk away from there, not knowing what to do, was extremely difficult.
So when you did that, you had no, am I correct? You had no place that you're going to go at that point. You had nothing. You just knew that I've got to cut ties right now and go find what that is. Is that correct?
That's exactly right.
And that's staring down fear, isn't it?
Yes. I made a lot of illogical decisions this year and looked fear right in the face. But, you know, every time I did that, it worked out. What happened is I started trusting and believing in myself, trusting my instincts. Mm-hmm. I learned how to make decisions, and I just approached everything completely different.
I love it. Had to feel good, though. Once you got past the fear, once you got past, I'm sure, the laying in bed at night or sitting by the fire or out on the back deck or riding down the road going, what in the world did you just do, Wendell? Right? I mean, we all have those moments, right? And but once you got past that, all of a sudden it's like I got to believe there's a little bit. I'm not putting words in your mouth, but there's got to be the fear, the unknown, some doubt, but excitement too, right?
Oh yeah, yeah.
And that's what we feed on. And I think that something that Wes and I talk about a lot is, and we do it, we're doing it right now. Love what we do and do what we love, right? Mm-hmm. And if you're doing that. Or let me back up. I think a message to everybody is, again, I'm not suggesting you go quit whatever you're doing today. That's probably just foolish.
Right.
But if you're not getting juice out of what you do, mm-hmm. man, you got to find a way to get, you got to either, is there a reason why can you fix it? Or at some point you got to figure out what to do, right? Because you cannot, or should not, you owe it to yourself, your family, your friends, everybody around you to be a way better contributor to not only society in general, but to your own local micro society, right? The family and local friends and people, to be doing what it is you love. Mm-hmm. And I think you owe that to yourself and everybody around you. And so if you're not, right, and you took that gamble, you took that risk, you risk it on the most important person to risk it on, which is mm-hmm. yourself, right?
Yeah. Trusting yourself and betting on yourself is huge. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, you know, the magic happens outside your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. So get uncomfortable. That's the other thing I learned. Every time I did it, it worked out great. Yep. But you know, being in, you know, one of the things I learned this year is that I am in control of my destiny. I create and design the life that I want to live. So that's what I'm doing. And that's why I decided to make that transition, is I want to live the life that I want to live, do the things I want to do, spend time with my kids when I want to. And so that's what I'm in the process of doing.
Beautiful. So, you know, I'm going to go back to that in a minute. So you're going to be, or are, working on and developing a coaching program. Is that the best way to describe where you're going, or what is the future right now, that when people watch this interview and go, man, I like that Wendell Yoder dude, I need to work with him. What would that look like? What are you going to bring to people that, and who would be the right person, besides the obvious answer, probably everybody, but who would be the right person to call Wendell Yoder up?
Yeah, anybody who's looking to change their life or really take things to the next level. You know, if you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, then I've definitely got some information that can help you. But, you know, my mentor I was working with, coaching company I'm working with, Voss Coaching, they have a live event, World Class Wealth event, that they have several times a year. So I attended one in May, and it was at that event where I got extreme clarity on what I needed to do. I was sitting there, I think it was day two, is like, this is exactly what I need to do. I need to take what I've learned and help other people. Like, I just got really passionate. Something clicked. It's like that light bulb went off in my head. Like, I know exactly what I need to do. Mm-hmm. But you have to keep in mind, up until this point, I was kind of shy, reserved. And the reason I ended up in the finance department was because I thought I didn't really like people. So I was trying to get away from people. So I'm going 180, going the opposite direction. You know, public speaking. If you would have invited me on this podcast 8 months ago, I would have said, no, there's no way I would ever do anything like that.
Right.
You know, and even at that point, I was non-existent on social media. So that's why I made that decision. I knew that's what I had to do. So now I'm just growing into that person.
Oh, love it. So, you know, let's talk about two additional things I really want to touch base on. Anything else you want to, but one is networking and social media and how we use that in today's world. And networking is an interesting subject for you and I, because we met because of networking. Mm-hmm. We met because of a guy from a manufacturer that I represent today, Marco Industries. Good friend of mine and yours, Zach Biggie, was your sales guy when you was at Delta Metals, correct? Mm-hmm. And you'd lost touch, I believe. Give us the story about that, because I know one day you and I both got connected by Zach, and that's a credit to somebody like Zach that understands the value of that as well. Is here's two people that I think bring something to the table individually, but I think you two need to know each other. And I think we both appreciate that. So I know he reached out to me about the same time he reached out to you and basically connected us. And you can't put any kind of value on that, because it's just such a huge value to have those kind of connections and relationships, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 100%. Social media is, like I said, I was non-existent. I think it was May or June. And I knew when I made this decision to pursue what I'm pursuing is I'm going to have to get in front of people. I'm going to get comfortable. So that was probably one of the biggest things I did, was start getting on camera, getting on social media. It's very uncomfortable for me to begin with. But the power of networking, yeah, I just started reaching out, connecting with people. And his name popped up and I hadn't talked to him for several years. Shot him a message and he's like, hey, you need to talk to Randy. And that's when we started chatting. And it's been so much fun connecting with people, meeting new people. The power of social media is I feel like it's underutilized. A lot of people don't fully understand what they have. Mm-hmm. It's like the gold mine of 2023, 2024. Right. Such a powerful tool.
Well, it is, because visibility equals opportunities, right? Mm-hmm. And if you're going to be in any kind of business world of any type, where you have a product, service to promote, to be involved with, like it or don't like it. And there's aspects of social media I don't participate in. Mm-hmm. I don't get into the political and stuff. I don't get into a lot of different things. But you have to go where you're. Potential clients are. You have to go where they live. You can't expect them to come find you anymore. I think that's way old now. Even in our construction industry, my construction industry, which can still be a bit old school-ish, it's amazing the number of people, even in the plane community, that still have access at work or access to somebody's phone or whatever. There's so many opportunities to be there with people and spread your message on a daily basis. And I think I'd love your take on this, because I've made this statement before and some people believe me or buy it and others maybe don't, but that's okay. Social media presence today is where the website, a website, used to be 10, 15 years ago. Still would need a website, but if you didn't have a website at one point in time, you didn't exist, right? People went to look up this window guy, and if they couldn't find a website, they're going to go to somebody that has a website, mm-hmm. right? And I think in today's world of social media, you need a good, consistent, positive message mm-hmm. on a regular basis, because even people my age, which Wes would say is older than dirt, which I'll let that one go because he does have the magic buttons back there can shut me off. But, you know, I never would have thought 3 years ago, like you said earlier, would I be doing a podcast? Are you kidding me? Would I be guesting anytime anybody wants to call? I mean, you could call me in 3 minutes. If I'm not busy, I'll jump on with you live. Let's go, right? I'll jump and do videos all day long, post stuff everywhere, speak at shows, write articles, do things. None of that, Wendell, would I have done 3 to 4 years ago. And the doors of opportunity that creates is there's I can't even put a number on it. I already know what the number is. It's huge. It's all I know. The huge opportunities, and you can't measure it just, well, what did you sell extra today because of that? It's like a marathon that you occasionally sprint, right? You got to be in and on a day-to-day basis, be consistent, be there, network with people. And you're doing such a great job with that. That was my long-winded way of saying all that. Mm-hmm. I could have just said, geez, you're doing a great job. But, you know, apparently my wife's right and I like to hear myself talk. So.
No, I agree with you 100%. I feel like you've done a phenomenal job of making that transition and adapting. It's incredible. But well, you know, if I meet somebody, I look them up on social media. You know, mm-hmm. You can establish immediate trust just by they can see what you got going on and what you're doing, who you are.
Exactly. That's, you know, what's funny you just said too, Wendell, is that now if I get introduced to or meet or somebody's recommended to me, the very first thing I do is go to LinkedIn because I'm a B2B guy, right? Mm-hmm. And so I automatically, my number one platform for me is LinkedIn. I use all the rest of them to augment the message, you know, and catch the peripherals that might not be on LinkedIn or to further expose that consistency message. Maybe you didn't see something I did on LinkedIn, but, oh, you saw it over on Facebook or on Instagram or Threads or whatever. Or maybe you saw it 2 or 3 times, right? And that's good too. But it's like funny. And what you just said made me laugh to myself because if I met 2 new people today, met as in was introduced or came across them, first thing, typed in their name at LinkedIn. First thing, sent a hey, I'd like to meet you message, right? I think that's so important today. And if you don't have that presence where they are, again, they're not going to come looking for you anymore. A lot of people want word of mouth. Our industry is a little different than some. I realize the building materials world is a little smaller, tighter knit based industry. And I realize that. And there's still a whole lot of word of mouth. And I don't want to ever not or downplay the value and importance of that because that's been very good to me. But if you want to expand and you want to deal with the younger folks coming up, everything they get is going to be social media based. Like it or don't like it, doesn't matter. And that's why I do a long version of this. I started doing TikTok. Not as much as I do other things. I like the flexibility and freedom of being slightly, what's the word I want? More TikTok-ish, I guess, if that's the word. It's a little fun, right? I can be a little bit exciting. Different than what you'll do on LinkedIn, which would never be particularly acceptable. But I look at it this way. If I want to deal with this 23-year-old, 26-year-old, to me, a kid, that's going to be that decision maker in the next year, 2, 3, 4, 5, because I want to do what I do forever because I love what I do and do what I love. We've established that. I want them to know me now. I want us to know each other for years so that when they are in that position, it's not like I'm trying to now reach out to you finally and say, hey, you know, I know you're this young guy getting involved now. Geez, I'd like to know you. I want to already know you. But if I want to do that, I need to go where they live. Not expect them to come find me, maybe on LinkedIn that they don't do or very pay little attention to because they see that as a little more businessy than they want to participate in today. So I want to go where they're at. And so I think that's my long version of all that is there's so many opportunities to reach all of your audience, potential audience, and we're just we need to take advantage of that. And you do a great job with that as well. And thank you for your kind words, but I just am sold on, and it's so easy because they're all the time, 24/7, stick a post up when you get a minute, be aware of opportunities of something that might make sense to say or to bring or value to people. Right. And you do such a great job with that. So keep it up.
Thank you. No, it's been great. It's been really stretching me, really got me out of my comfort zone. But, you know, my thing is, why wouldn't everybody do that? Because for me, at least for me, it was the reason I didn't, it was the self-image. Like, I wasn't comfortable getting on camera and sharing my thoughts and ideas. But you have to get to the place where, quite frankly, you just don't give an F what anybody thinks.
Right.
I mean, that's just the, and most people aren't there. And I lived most of my life like that. And it's so freeing. And it feels so good to just be yourself.
Yes. And you know, the other thing with that too, that I find, and again, love your opinion on, for people that are afraid to do that, is the other thing with social media is it's consistency and not just one post every 6 or 7 years, right? I mean, you know, you got to be there on a regular basis because we're a swipe up or a swipe left society, right? Yeah. And there, you may get a nanosecond or two, or they're just moving right on past you. The point is, you make a mistake, not a mistake like take a stance you hadn't ought to take, but you looked a little dumb with something you said, or you think you're going to come across as a little odd. Guess what? They are going to have forgot that about 34 seconds from now after they've looked at 17 different people with different posts, right? So it's not like, don't take yourself so serious with that and just go be a term that I think gets used a lot, which I believe in, I'd love your take on is raw and organic, right? People don't want the, and I know Wes would give me this, he would tell me the name of what this thing's called. I forget, but that director thing that they used to use back in the movies and cut, right? Nobody wants this perfect director's cut presentation. And I think a lot of people get caught up, well, if I don't do a video, I got to do this perfect and I messed it up and just do the video, unless it's really stupid. You really messed up. I get it. Just do it, put it on and go, because people want raw. They want organic. They want the real Wendell Yoder, not that polished director's version that it looks like he had 4 directors, 9 producers, right? They don't want that. Yeah. They just want to see you, the real you, right?
Well, and that's what they're going to get. But yeah, check out my social media. You can see the progression because I'm getting better, you know, as you make more videos and stuff. But it is, and the only way to get better is to go do it. So right. Just.
And there's only going to be that first time. You got to have the first time. I like to liken it back to when you're younger, right? And you start recognizing. If you're a guy, the girls, or you're a girl, you start recognizing the guys and it's all exciting. And you know, that first time they hold your hand, oh, yeah, I want to hold their hand, but oh, I'm afraid to do that. Right. You just, you know, or you, the ever present, I want that first kiss. Right. Mm-hmm. Oh my, I want that, but you're scared to death to do it. Right. Mm-hmm. You're never going to have another first one though.
That's right.
You just got to get it out of the way. Right. Just, you know, and I think that's the same way with social media, doing videos, doing posts, giving speeches, writing. Yeah, it's got to put the first one out there, and the chips will fall where they may. You might be probably better than you thought, or you may have sucked way worse than you thought. But either way, if you're consistent, that's so far in the past in about 3 days that it doesn't matter, right? Mm-hmm. So, well, beautiful. Wendell, what else? What else do you want to talk about what you're doing? Because you've been very kind with your time, and I appreciate it. Wes always pops up instead of frequently asked questions, should ask questions in case I get to rambling and forget to bring up something that you might want to talk about. So what do we miss today that Wendell thinks everybody needs to know?
Well, one of the things, and I like what Dave said on one of your recent podcasts about work with a mentor and be a mentor. He's so true. You know, that's what changed everything for me this year is I started working with a coach and my personal, and then I used that in my physical. I hired a fitness coach and it works. I did it with my social media too. You know, working with Jen at Next Level Marketing, she gave me, you know, direction and instruction and a process of how to do things. Like you just apply, started applying it to all areas of my life and I've got phenomenal results. So don't be afraid to invest in yourself. Pay the money if you have to.
Right.
That the ROI on investing in yourself is infinite, but then pass it on to other people too.
There you go.
So that's a big point, and I missed it. It felt like I accomplished more in 6 months than I did over the last 6 years by doing things a certain way. Because it's a lot of the same information. It's just I've worked out a lot most of my life, but I've never done it in the way I've been doing it now.
Right. Well, the results are impressive. I saw some of the before and afters, and you're looking svelte and studly there, brother. I mean,
success leaves clues.
It does. Oh, I love that statement. And you're right. You're right. It's it expects and I always love this statement, and is you have to expect to win, right? You have to expect to win and not play to lose. How many football games are lost by the better team because they played out of a place of fear? We see it all the time in sports. The number one team in the country versus nobody, and they almost get beat. And why? Because they didn't play up. They took the game for granted, maybe early, didn't pay attention, didn't do the stuff they knew they had to do that they knew worked, and then found themselves in a hole. But then they found themselves in a little bit bigger hole, and then all of a sudden they went from playing to win, beating their chest, we are the win, to playing not to lose. And once you play not to lose, man, it's tough not to lose in that position, right?
I love that because that's what I did this year. I started expecting to win. I turned everything into my favor. Mm-hmm. Everybody has a story. We all have a past. So I started turning everything to work into my favor.
Right.
Love it. Expect to win.
Expect to win. Expect to win. And like you said, success leaves crumbs, leaves trails. You know, we talk a lot about learning from your failures, and failures will happen. You got to expect them. You don't plan to have them, but you got to accept them, learn from them. And if you learn from them, right, then it's really, you turn that into a win still, right? But we always talk about, well, what did you learn from that failure? That's important. But I think it's every bit, if not more important to also learn from the success so that you can repeat it. You want to learn from the failure so we don't repeat it and maybe get better. What don't we want to learn from the success and go, how can I repeat that? How can I tweak that? How can I make that even better next time? Because there's always something you did that caused the failure. And there's always something you did that caused the win, right? So we have to learn from both. And if we do that and go into every day with expectation, and that's my final word on that is a statement that I love is quit existing and start engaging, right? Yeah. Too many people exist every day in their life. You got to get out of that. You got to get up and engage. Tough as it may be, as crappy as it might be today, just be engaged in your personal life, in your health and fitness life, your spiritual life, if you have one, your business and sales life, whatever those are. Man, you just got to go out and engage and meet people and introduce yourself and take the risk. Like you said, get out of the comfort zone. Toughest thing you can do, but there's something intriguing about living on that edge of uncomfortable, right?
Yeah.
So you know, final words, my friend, and I'll let you get out of here.
Yeah. You know, the point of life is to really live how you want to live. You know, you have to be willing to fail to win.
Exactly.
Playing safe is a dumb idea. So
I love it. Go ahead.
Exactly. I've had losses this year too. It hasn't been tough. I mean, it hasn't been easy. I actually had a really big loss. Maybe we're out of time, but I've never shared this with anybody.
Go ahead.
One of my biggest lessons I learned this year is when I was trying to figure out what I was wanting to do, I thought I knew what I was going to do. And I made a $40,000 mistake because I didn't trust myself and I didn't trust my instinct. So I'll never forget that lesson. I should have listened to my intuition. I knew what I need to do, but my logic overrode that. But you know, it was probably the best thing that ever happened to me. So
usually, not always, but usually the gut is right, isn't it?
It's
exactly. You know, and if you just know it's wrong, then you probably shouldn't do it.
Yeah.
But equally, right, if you know it's right, I'm scared.
Yep.
I'm paranoid. I'm nervous. I'm doubting. But if you know deep down, this is doable, right? Then you got to roll the dice on that one. And I know different people have different aversions to risk. That's a big deal, right? Some people take risk on everything all day long. Mm-hmm. Some of them are called gamblers, right? They have a major lack of risk aversion, probably to their detriment. But, you know, if you've done all the planning and the preparing, you got to grab onto that belief and that dream, and you just got to believe in yourself and go. Mm-hmm. And understand that the first time you fail doesn't mean that dream is over. It just means you found one thing that don't work, right? That's all that means.
Exactly.
You know, you're still here today. You had the $40,000 oops, but that was a mistake.
That's right.
It didn't end the world. The dream did not change, right? Yeah. It's just like with goals, right? We've heard it a million times. If the goal's real, don't change the goal. You just got to change. You might have to change the time frame. You might have to change the route to get there. But don't change the goal, man. And you're living it, buddy. And I love it. I love your message. I love your story. And a shout out to Zach Biggie for getting us connected. And you know, let's continue talking, my man.
Sounds good.
All right, great. I love it. All right. Anything I ever do, you holler out, okay?
I will. Thanks, right. Randy.
That's it. Thanks, buddy. Cheers. There it is, Wendell Yoder. Follow him on social media, follow his story, check him out at his website. And you're going to love the guy. I've been blessed to get to know him in my life in a relatively short period of time. Network. I know Wendell Yoder because I know Zach Biggie. And I know Zach Biggie because I knew somebody else, right? That's the way that works. Just never be afraid to connect with good people and make them part of your life. Learn, trust, build relationships. Remember to love what you do and do what you love. That's what I'm doing right now. You only get one time around on planet Earth anyway, so seize it, live it, love it, and own it. And hey, go make today your best day ever. Till tomorrow. Cheers, my friends.
Thank you for listening to Building Wins Live.
You can find information on Randy, Wes, our guests, show notes, and anything related to the podcast at buildingwins.live. On behalf of the whole Building Wins team, don't forget, make today your best day ever. Until tomorrow.